Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, coming before you with the desire to be an encouragement to you and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. The scriptures are just so blessed for us. It's a wonderful thing to have the book, to be able to read into God's word, to read God's word. I was reading this morning in my personal devotions and was blessed afresh by Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you think of the frustration that a man or a woman knows in trying to keep the law, in trying never to break God's law, and yet all the while doing so, whenever you labor diligently to say that you are never going to break God's law, you know what you're doing? You're putting your faith and trust in yourself. And right then, you are breaking the commandment of having no other God before the Lord, for you're putting yourself upon that pedestal. You cannot rely upon yourself to please the Lord. The Lord has shown us by His commandments that He is a holy God, and there is but one way that we can please Him, and that is to look to Christ. Look what this book says. Look what this verse says, Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, there are so many things that are said in that verse. It's well worth many sermons because it's God's word, but also because of the fact that it should bring great peace to the heart of the struggling new Christian who doesn't understand that it is not by your keeping of the law that God saves you, because you can't keep the law. You break God's law. You think that you're keeping the Ten Commandments? No, you're breaking them right when you lift yourself up and saying that you do, because the Lord would have us to keep His word, but in Him. Now, that which we know we are to do, when we would do good, evil is present with us. The motives of our deeds, our hearts, are very evil. And so we cannot say, Lord, I kept nine of them, but broke that, just that one. So Lord, there are a lot of people who think like that. They feel like when all of the tallies are in, that the Lord is going to total it up and say, oh yes, well, you just barely did make it in, just one more grain, and you would have not made it in. You know, thinking back the way the farmers used to weigh up their grain and weigh up their cotton and all of this, and the people who worked in those fields, at the end of the day, they went to get the cotton weighed. And during the times of slavery, if there were not enough, then there were punishment administered to those who didn't measure up. And so a lot of people feel like that the Lord is like that. No, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is the end of the law for righteousness. So in Christ, we keep the law. Only in Christ is the law kept, and that is put to my account, to your account, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not believed on the Lord, then you have not salvation. If you have not trusted Christ for heaven, then you are still lost and in your sin. And the only way that you can have forgiveness of sins is to trust Christ. The reason why we have sinned is because we're sinners first. That's the reason why we sin. We don't sin and become sinners. We are sinners, and therefore we sin. And it manifests itself that we are sinful. Father, we thank Thee for this great truth, that Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. And Lord, we do ask for Thy blessings upon this message today and this time in the Word of God. Bless Your people, save souls, and convict sinners, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and look in the scriptures here as we are in the book of Genesis chapter 21. And we have been talking about how that the Lord had given to Abraham and Sarah a child. And she was 90 years of age, and he was 100 when the child was born. And this child was named for the response that they had when the Lord told Sarah that she was going to have a child. The child is named Isaac. And she says in verse 6 that the Lord had made her to laugh. And indeed he did. He named the child Laughter, and so that all will hear will laugh with me. You know, that's a big phrase, laughing with us or laughing at us. They won't mock her. They will rejoice with her. But, you know, again, that's another side note here, that there are people who see someone getting something that they want and they won't rejoice with you, but they're saddened by what the Lord has done and is doing in your life. And that is the very clear mark of an envious heart. When you think that you ought to have something that God is giving to someone else, that is the very fact, that's evidence now that you have an envious heart. Your heart is filled with envy, and that's idolatry. It's a sinful thing to envy another, covetousness. Envy, when you see someone with something and you say, they don't deserve that, I ought to have it. I mean, I really worked hard. And you hold that thing down in you, and pretty soon it pops forth and you wonder, I didn't really mean to hurt them that bad, but that's what envy does. Envy gets in the seat and says, they don't deserve it. They don't even deserve to be in the room where you are. Or in this world where you, of all people, that very idea that they would think that they should be in this, on the same planet with somebody as great as you are. That's what envy says. Envy will make you do wicked things. So Sarah says people will laugh with her when they see that the Lord, what the Lord has done. God hath made me to laugh, she said. And so her son, Isaac, is so named Isaac, which means laughter. And the Lord had indicated this was going to be the name of the son. And so the Lord has given her this son, and this is going to be something that is going to remind her all the time of her response to the Lord when he told her that she was going to have a child. Isaac, she would call, and then, of course, her mind would have to go back. I laughed when the Lord said I was going to have this child. Whenever the child was crying, whenever the child would do things that will make only a mother's heart rejoice, she called his name and she would think, oh, how I doubted God. I laughed when the Lord said he was going to do this. Well, so they were not going to make a mockery of her, but they were going to rejoice with her. And she also herself would rejoice as she listened to the fact of what the Lord had done. That's our God who works like that. That's the God of heaven. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the one who is holy, and he is the one who demands that we be a holy people. Now, we're a holy people in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, here Isaac, after a year has passed, the child is born. Now, the mother is going to have to nurse this child. And she indicates this, that the Lord has given her this ability to nurse her children, her child. And she was saying, now who would ever have thought that I would be nursing a son, 90 years of age? I've borne my husband a son in my old age and his old age. Oh, yes, that's what God the Lord does. There is nothing impossible for the Lord. He's the God of all flesh. And then we move quickly. Here, a few years passed by. Verse 8, the child grew, was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. The child is now able to eat food on his own and not have to be nursed by its mother. We do not know exactly the age at which she weaned this child, just like we do not know the age, exact age at which well, we know a little bit about Samuel being weaned by his mother, and then, of course, being taken up to the temple. We don't know exactly. And it's possible that he was about 3 years of age when he was weaned from nursing his mother. And that is not done very often today, as whereas the mothers nurse their children. But again, it is something that is coming back. Now, the scriptures also tell us that when this happened, the same day when Isaac was weaned, Abraham makes a great feast. He now, you know, is rejoicing that the child is old enough to eat the food that they could eat and didn't have to rely upon his mother to provide food for him, because that's a very crucial state, you know. And was it that he himself was demonstrating a certain measure of fear and concern that, Lord, will my wife, she's just given birth to a child at the age of 90, and is she going to be able to live long enough to give the child enough food, and will he make it through those crucial years of his infancy? Yes, he was concerned about this, and I believe this is probably one of the times that he really was. You know, a parent has a very heavy heart and a very concerned heart with children when they're sick. There's nothing you can do for them to find out how they're feeling other than the fact that they cry or they will eat. When our son was born, the doctor said to us this. He said, is he eating all right? Yes. Okay, well, then you don't have anything to worry about. If he stops eating, then you better become concerned. That was what the doctor would say. So if the child is able to eat, he will eat because his body is growing and demanding food, and he is healthy. So now Abraham throws a great big time of feasting and rejoicing that this child is weaned. And then in verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. So we're going to now move to some other move forward. And here's the older son, the teenage son of Abraham. He is mocking this child. He's taunting the child, aggravating him. You know how teenagers love to do this kind of thing, and older children love to do this to the younger ones? So Ishmael here now is the one who is going to be doing these things. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And this doesn't please a mother, not at all, to see a bigger child picking on her child, or even a smaller child at that matter. That won't go over too easily, too well. And so the mother's heart says, this won't be, we can't have this. And so which she had borne unto Abraham, so he is now saying, let's have this woman leave. So what was it that was making Isaac, or not Isaac, but Ishmael, mock this boy? What was it that would make him mistreat his younger brother? Was he boasting, I'm the firstborn and I'm going, and the child, of course, wouldn't have been able to understand this. Nevertheless, there were problems that he did cause. And the mother happened to see this, and she is going to step in and make some very strong decisions about the matter. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we will learn today from the scriptures that there are problems that follow us, decisions we've made earlier, they will follow us to this day and even beyond. But help us to recognize that God is our help, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson. May the Lord bless you.